Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Well, I want to talk about rent caps first on a serious note. It's in the news today. In 2016, rent caps were introduced, of course, which set limits on the size of price increase that landlords can charge for the rent of their property. Now, this was put in place to protect tenants from rising costs of accommodation. The first cap was set at 4% each year, which was reduced to 2% in 2021. Now, when they first introduced the rent caps, they provided a protection and safety blanket for people. However, now they may be contributing to the housing crisis. The property industry makes the argument that the rent caps went too far and now landlords are unable to recover maintenance costs. So invariably, landlords are leaving the market because they just can't afford to maintain their properties. Maybe they have a mortgage on it and they have maintenance on it. And with a rent cap, they just can't make up the money. And you might say to yourself, well, that's because they're robbers. But I mean, realistically, in this world nowadays, you have to be a robber to make any kind of profit, don't you? The Irish Institutional Property has blamed rent caps for driving away money that could have been used for construction. Housing charities like Threshold argue that rent caps have been a crucial part of protecting renters. So obviously they're on the renter side, and if they were not put in place, the cost of renting and living would be even higher than they already are. On the other hand, experts such as Dr. Michael Byrne from the UCD said that caps are too restrictive and has suggested the solution to make rent caps rules a bit more flexible, because realistically, nobody wants or needs the rent prices to increase, not even the landlords. I mean, landlords really don't want the prices to go up too much either, because it pushes them out of the market. But I want to know what you think about this. No matter who you ask, there's always a kind of different answer and different perspective. Tenants need rent caps to survive. Landlords need the removal of rent caps so they can survive. Investors say they just can't continue to build property under these kind of rules. So what do you think? Do rent caps serve a purpose? Should they stay or should they go? It sounds like a song. Should they stay or should they go now? Or should the rules just be changed? Let me know what you think of rent caps. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. That's funny if you gave out the wrong number there. 087-188-0008. They are ringing me on my mobile phone tomorrow, aren't you? 087-188-0008 is the number if you want to send us a text or a WhatsApp. And just if you want to come on the talk to us about it, maybe you're a renter, maybe you're a landlord, all you got to do is WhatsApp that number. Just say, let me on, and they'll let you on. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? Good evening. I was just rooting in my shed. I'm getting a new shed and I'm clearing out the old one. I'm after finding about 11 of your campaign posters from the European election. So I'm just wondering if any of your listeners would like an election poster or want the poster of Niall Boylan in their bedroom.
A four foot by two foot poster. Yeah, that's a big poster.
They can have her in their bedroom. They'll have you in your room every night. I'm going to bed with Niall Boylan.
I went down to a friend of mine there last week. We were having dinner,
yeah.
And her kids have one of my posters hanging up on their fence, yeah, with a hole in it that they kicked the ball through where my head is.
You're a hole in the head. Listen, do you know what film is 30 years old this year? Go on, have a guess.
Ah, jeez, it could be anything, Morris. E.T.
Braveheart.
Okay, E.T. is about 40 years old, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, Braveheart.
Is it?
30 years, what a great film. Yeah, 30 years old.
You know what? I never liked the movie. I'm not a big fan of Mel Gibson at the best of time, but I never really got into Braveheart. It never did it for me.
It did for me. Just understanding the war and then the failure. Well, it's the history of England destroying
Of course,
everything.
Yeah.
But it was a good story. It was good. And there was a mad Irish fella in it.
What's the famous line? What they'll take our freedom, but they'll never take what's the famous line?
Will you fight? Will you fight? You can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom.
That's the line. I couldn't remember the line. Yeah, okay.
That's the one. Yeah.
Getting back to rent caps, Morris. Yeah. Are they a good idea? Because they're twofold. They're, you know, it's a kind of double edged sword, isn't it?
It is. It's a catch 22 situation. There is greedy landlords out there who will love this coming into play if you do reduce it, because they'll say to the client, listen, you've been here 8 years, great, you paid your way, but the cost of materials has gone up and I need to put your rent up by 400 a month. And they'll say, I can't afford it, I'm on minimum wage. And they'll say, sorry, there's your 3 months notice, you're out. And the new person coming in that has loads of money will go, yeah, I've no problem paying 2,400. So it's a greedy, vicious circle. But like, I was listening, my wife told me she was listening today to the radio, and there was a 70-year-old woman on, And she said, if you put up the rent anymore, I'm homeless. At 70 now, can you imagine?
I know, that's terrible, isn't it?
Isn't that horrific? You see, there's the victims. They're the ones that cry in the corner and nobody knows about them. And there's nothing available anywhere in this country. But like I said to you, you know yourself, there is greedy people out there.
But here's the thing. But if you have a landlord who's restricted to 2%, you know, per year, and then all of a sudden, you know, say that the renter moves out, then they'll up the price exponentially for the next renter. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, you understand. Yeah, exactly. And I think what it is too, if you have somebody that's in to make as much as possible, like greed.
But most of them are not greedy, Morris. I mean, okay, some of the larger larger corporates are, but most of the individual, and most, by the way, the landlords in this country are small individual landlords with one or two properties, right?
Yeah.
Most of them are not greedy. They just want to cover their costs and get a few quid out.
I'll tell you who the greedy fellas are, and I see them still operating today. They're like fucking the misers that you'd see years ago, Scrooge. The fellas on the North Circular Road and the South Circular Road who have the big houses let in.
They have them cut down into like 14 units
there
or something like
they're still out there, you know. But like I said to you, it's the cost. I'll give you an example too, the cost of everything. A friend of mine got a quote there about 3-4 years ago to get an extension on his roof, to get a Velux window in and take down a plastic sunroof and put up, and he got a price of $3,500, right? So he says, if it's that cheap, I'll wait a while. It's gone up to $6,500 now because materials have gone up. It's doubled in price.
Yeah, and labour has gone up too. The cost of labour has gone
up
too.
Yeah, everything is costing more now, you know.
Obviously, he'd have to get a wooden roof. The price of the wood, even around the Velux, so the wood alone has nearly tripled in price in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and the Velux window now has gone from about 400 to nearly 900.
Is it? Okay, they are nice windows.
They're that expensive. Yeah. So I just think, look, there's people out there, the government can do what they want because they have a majority in power. They sold out. Fianna Fáil to Fine Gael, two enemies getting together to screw the people. They told us they'd come in and make change. Just wanted to keep Sinn Féin out. They had no alternative to us. 100 years of bullshit. People are fed up. And I'm thinking of leaving again, Noel. I spoke to you about this before. I'm retiring next year and I'm looking to go, I think, again because there's no future here.
And where are you going to go? Spain or somewhere?
Portugal. It's only 2 hours flight. Yeah. And I could either sell this place or else I can rent it out for $2,000 a month and live off that down there as well as me pension.
Yeah, you could. You could. Yeah.
It's an option. Yeah, it's an option. But I think the landlords, what's going to happen is the 2%, like, do you know the way the rate of inflation was going skyrocketing? I'll give you an example. I got a pay increase 1 year of 4% and I was delighted with myself. But inflation was running at 12%. It added up, gobbled it up. And like I said to you, I got mortgage free about 3 years ago.
That made no difference either. Yeah.
No, exactly, because I have disposable income. I've never been in that bracket in my life. It's gone on ESB, it's gone on gas, it's gone on everything, you know.
But the same goes for the landlord. So, you know, when you talk about the Velux window or you talk about the price of maintenance, even if a boiler goes or the heating stops working or fixing a door lock or something like that the landlord has to do, the cost for the landlord to do all of those things has tripled in the last 10 years as well. So don't get me wrong, I do feel sorry for renters. Most renters except one. I do feel sorry for renters all over the country having to pay, you know, extortionate prices to rent a house. But I also equally feel sorry for landlords who are equally being screwed on maintenance. So you can't just ignore the plight of the landlord.
Circle. No, it's a vicious circle, but, you know, I've always been fair and I was reared with my mother and she said, Morris, only take what you need, don't be greedy. But people have greed. Money is people's God, Noel.
Money, I know that.
You know yourself, you know, they'll fucking sell your soul. But to get, where's the next million coming from? That's what I know about people that are rich, that have it.
These people, you know, who screw you over, karma will always come back to bite them, don't worry.
Yeah, but what I'd say to you too, though, is if you have somebody on minimum wage and inflation is running at 12% or 8% and they're getting a pay increase of 4%, they're fucking screwed. But don't want to take the house off them or the apartment and get somebody else.
Okay, so look, bottom line, stop sitting on the fence here, dude. Should we get rid of rent caps or keep them?
I think if you want to keep people in homes, keep them because they can survive with the rent caps on them.
Okay, and what about the landlord? Affect them?
The government should give them more tax breaks.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, listen, thanks, Morris. Let me go to Julie. Julie, hi, how are you?
I'm okay, Niall. How are you?
Good, that's not a bad idea, Morris says. Okay, keep the rent caps, but give the landlords tax breaks.
Oh, would you? Up. They're making a fortune.
Who? No, I think, landlords?
Well, they're not in the game for nothing. Now, let's be real. Like, you know what I mean? No, I 100% agree with the cops, though, because I've been in situations where you just don't know. You're week from week. You know, you have to kind of like, if you put it up, you have no kind of grounds to stand on. Well, it depends who your landlord is, really, and what like position you're in. But at the end of the day, I think the caps are a good idea.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know rent prices are outrageous, but I could argue that we've survived for caps for, you know, decades without having caps.
No, but look at
but we have them now.
If they turn around and they say, like, right, okay, your rent is €2,300, that's for, 2 years, that's great. At least you know where you stand. You know, and you can make a bit of a life for yourself, or you can plan ahead. Like, you can't really do that without them. You're kind of like, I wonder will they put it up next week? I wonder what's going to, like, you know what I mean? So it depends if you have a decent one or not. But at the end of the day, I think the caps, 100%, keep them.
And then what we're doing is your argument is based on the fact that landlords are thieves, right? And are robbing people. I don't always think that's the case, Julie. You know, I mean, a landlord might have a property with a mortgage on it. They have to maintain it.
You're making an assumption here. They don't all have a mortgage, but those who do, that's great. But at the end of the day, they're making money. They're not doing it for the crack. Like,
some of them are, but some of them are not. I know landlords who weren't making money and just got out and sold the house and got out of it because they just couldn't afford to rent it.
Yeah, well, that's great. At least they sold the house and they got a few bob and they're off in Ibiza now or wherever they are. But at the end of the day, I'm thinking about people that are working. I'm thinking about people in apartments that are paying through the roof for their rent because they don't know where they stand with their landlord. So that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about how much is it going to cost, say, if something happens in your house and you have to go somewhere else. Like, I'm thinking about, like, let's be real. Like, and then they're talking
about... I am being real. There's a limit to how high a landlord can put the rent up, because realistically, if they put it up too high and it's not in the market average for the area, well, nobody's really going to rent it. So realistically, landlords are restricted to the limit of what the market dictates in that area.
And so they should be.
Yeah, but they're morally limited to that anyway. They always were. Now, I understand rent prices are ridiculous at the moment. I do get that. But in saying that, the cost of running a home for a landlord, the cost of maintaining a home, the cost of, you know, fixing a boiler and replacing windows...
Hold up, right? When you pay your rent, yeah, okay, of all the places that I've lived, whatever, right? Let's not even go down the line. But if you're paying rent, it's their responsibility to fix something if it's wrong. No offence, but come on.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware it's their responsibility. That's the point I'm making. Because it's their responsibility, those costs and that responsibility has gone up quite a lot in the last 10 years.
What are you going to do? Are you going to wreck the gaff? Like, do you know what I mean?
Some people do.
Yeah, well, that's their problem, and then they don't remain in the home. But, like, in all fairness, like, if something happens, say if, like, that should all come under your tenancy. If something happens in your home, and it's, like, whatever, it's a household, whatever, blah, 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 the roof caved in, that's up to the landlord to fix. It should be in your tenancy agreement. And if it's not, then you have a problem.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I know many landlords have been in the situation where they can't get a bad tenant out. You know what I mean? The bad tenant is in there for nearly... Well, no, it's not their problem. It's the PRTB is their problem. The tenants just won't leave. They can't go in and throw them out. You can't call the guards. They have rights. And I know one particular person who was renting
out...
Their he was. They were, hang on, but they were renting out their father's old property, right? In between selling it, they said they'd rented it out for 2 years. They had this guy who was a doctor, right? Inverted commas. He was a doctor, well-to-do type guy, right? Rented it out, was wrecking the place. They asked him to leave. He wouldn't. He stopped paying the rent. And it took them 8 months to get him out, and he hadn't paid a bean in rent in 8 months. And then when they eventually got into the house was in bits.
That's very unfortunate. That's very unfortunate. But, like, do you know what I mean?
It's more than unfortunate. That's a loss of a loss of about 16 grand for the landlord.
Yeah, but whose fault is that?
Well, it's the... Whose fault is it?
You know, it's the fault.
Hang on. Yeah, but the fault is that we automatically assume landlords are bad people. There's a kind of thing out there.
I didn't say they were bad people. I said there's good and bad in them. Like, they're not all bad people. I've been in many, many properties and I've come across bad, good. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not saying they're bad, but I'm not saying that they're there. Like there's a 50-50 with landlords. There's 50 there that are, like, take the biscuit when it comes to money. And there's the other 50 that are probably half decent.
And your experience, how many properties have you rented now?
I've been in a few properties.
And was your rent always reasonable, or was it a rip off by times, or?
Yeah, well, like, it was different landlords, so it was different circumstances, you know. But no, it was reasonable if they were putting it up. If they were making an increase on the rent, they had the conversation. If there was something to be fixed in the house, they had that conversation as well, and they deducted it from the rent. Like, whatever. It worked okay.
Okay. Well, then you've had a reasonable experience. No. And most people, by the way, most people do have a good experience between landlord and tenant. So this is what I'm saying to you is, you know, although the charities will say that we need the rent caps, you know, you've got, you know, this professor from UCD, Michael Byrne, has said that rent caps are too restrictive. You know, he said realistically nobody wants or needs rent prices to increase. And he doesn't believe that landlords, well, I don't believe either, that suddenly if we took away the rent caps tomorrow, all the prices in Dublin would suddenly go up. They won't. They'll be dictated by the market anyway.
Look, I don't know what to say now. I've given an opinion on this. Like, okay. If I was a landlord, I'd tell you...
Well, I think we're losing your line there, Julie. Sorry, let me just go to Joe before the break. Joe, hi, how are you?
Hi, Arnold. How's things?
Yeah. Joe, are rent caps too restrictive, or are they a good idea to control rent prices?
Rent caps are a good idea. And Micheál Martin was on tonight talking about the rent caps going up indexed with the inflation. Well, he wasn't talking about individual. He was talking about the big companies. And he's only looking after the big companies. He didn't mention individual.
He's talking about the vulture funds that come in and build, huge developments.
About the vulture funds. They won't build if they don't do this. Now,
That's all. No, hang on. That also is a problem. As much as we hate these organizations that come in here, build thousands of apartments and rent them out and then piss off and make a huge amount of money and pay no tax, right? We all hate the idea. But here. We do need them as well. We need investment. Because if we don't have those developers coming in and doing that, we won't have enough accommodation.
Well, Noel, you're not listening to the public. The public is on every day telling you they can't afford it.
I'm well aware of that.
They can't afford it. I mean, there was a girl on the news tonight, folding in the one house, they're going to be homeless if the rent caps go. Folding are going to be homeless. She's from Kerry. And she had a good job. And she's going to be homeless. You have to listen to that. You're talking about profit over people being thrown out on the street.
Before I go any further in this conversation, I want to make it abundantly clear. I have no skin in the game. I'm not a landlord. I don't have a property that I'm renting out because somebody just texted and said, Boylan, you clearly have properties.
I have every sympathy for the small individual landlord that's pinch in the neck. But a lot of these landlords, like the one down on Griffith Avenue, all them apartments there, you have to sign a contract that you earn over 89,000 before you're allowed to rent an apartment down there. Mm-hmm. Off Griffith Court. I mean, none of them are cheap. And to index link that to inflation, I mean, minimum wage is not index linked to inflation. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to think of the poor people that are renting. They can't afford
it. I have the utmost sympathy for people who are in a situation where literally if the rent goes up by 2 or 3%, they're going to be out of a home. I have the utmost
sympathy. Out of house and home.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
and Joe, by the way, I don't want to see anybody homeless. But I also have to balance that. And I'll finish this. Let me finish. I have to balance that with a landlord who's not making ends meet.
But you can't make that comparison. Somebody's life over a landlord's profits.
No, not over a landlord's profits, but a landlord's losses as well.
I mean, you know, they have the option to sell the house to somebody that will make a profit that is very, very rich. But a person that is pinned to the collar and can't afford a rent, they have no option. You're giving the options to the rich landlord all the time. A landlord who's pinned to the collar has the option to sell the house. Somebody that's going to be homeless has no option. And you have to think of that. It's morally wrong. And for a politician to be talking out both sides of their mouth and saying, we're putting up the rent, but it's good for you.
But we all know most politicians are landlords anyway, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, they're talking out both sides of your mouth if you're saying, you know, we're putting up the rents, but it's good for you. Who is that good for you in any way? When people are pinned to the collar and they're on the radio and on the news every night saying, can't afford rent, and they can't afford to buy a house, what option have they got? You know what I mean? And to me, it's only Micheál Martin pandering to the big companies. If a landlord can't afford to keep his house, he sells it. End of story. What does the person that's renting do if the rent goes up on the street or into B&B and they get social welfare housing? That's not right. That's not right at all. And to say that index linking rent to the cost of living is going to help anyone, It's not going to
Okay, so your argument is you're going to index link that, well then index link social welfare, index link wages, index link minimum wage, index link everything else while you're at it.
Yeah, but I mean, 8% of the your social welfare payment is not going to cover 8% of a rise of 2,500.
But realistically, that has been the suggestion, some landlords would rise by 8%. But realistically, is a landlord going to raise the rent by 8% when normally the rent in, well, when the rent in an area is normally dictated by the market anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, but per year, you know, they're not talking about 8%. Or he's talking about you'd be looked at for 6 years and you're locked into this thing for 6 years. You don't know what way that's going to go. That would be abused just the same way everything else would be abused. You know what I mean? But you got to think, you know, you're talking about morality. Well, a person being on the road or on the street because they can't afford the rent, in my mind, is more important than somebody's profits. I mean, if they're pinned to the collar because they can't afford it to keep their landlords, you know, their house rented out, and they're not able to keep it, they should sell it on to somebody who is.
Just in relation to what Joe was saying, of course, Eoin O'Brien from Sinn Féin said the Taoiseach was basically gaslighting renters. He said, I'm not even sure he fully understands the extent to which they're putting huge numbers of people, young people, people approaching pension age, at enormous risk with the even greater financial hardship, in many cases, at risk of being homeless. Now, this is, of course, in relation to the new rent cap scheme, which is going to be brought before the Cabinet. It's expected that the rent pressure zones, by the way, will be retained, with the rent increasing for existing tenants linked to inflation. But new bills will not have a cap anymore, but will be solely linked to inflation, which, by the way, they predict inflation will be somewhere between 2% next year, 1.4% the year after. They think inflation's going to come down. Now, mind you, you'd have to be a fairly good economist to try and predict that kind of stuff. But stay there for a second, Joe. Let me just go to David. David, hi, how are you?
Hi, great talking to you again. This is a rerun of the conversation we had about 2-3 weeks ago, isn't it?
Okay, can you run up the stairs or out the back garden? Your phone is a bit iffy there, David, but go on.
Firstly, you have to that idea. Every economist who looked into this.
David, unfortunately, your phone is just breaking up really badly. I don't know what part of your house or your room you're in.
Okay, I'll move to another place.
Go ahead.
Sorry, not the... most economists reckon that rent caps restrict the available rental properties and prevent or put off potential landlords from renting property. So it reduces the available stock.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually forcing the price up, is it not? Because that's where we're at.
Well, it also forces smaller landlords out of the market, so those properties end up getting sold.
Well, they may get sold. They may just be kept. I know a lot of people who have property, which there's been a property in the village, which has been opposite the pub. It's been empty for months since the mother died, and in a few months, I believe. One of the granddaughters is going to move in there, but it's a huge house for just the granddaughter.
What you're saying to me is, look, it's a free market; it has to remain that way, and the market should dictate the price and not the government.
Right. Well, certainly the market should not be controlled by the cost of inflation, because the property cost of inflation is very different to the living cost of inflation. You know, because you put money on fuel, or you put tax on fuel, fuel prices go up, food prices go up, that causes inflation to go up. It hasn't shifted the cost of running a house. It hasn't shifted the insurance on a property. It hasn't shifted the repairs on a property. So having any rent linked to ordinary inflation is bollocks. That's what
the Taoiseach is suggesting on all new bills, by the way, that rent is linked, or should I say the increases are linked to inflation.
It's another bollocks idea by people who come out with bollocks all the time. Let's not use that word too much anymore.
Okay, get the point you're making. Right.
Thomas Sowell made a very, is a very, he's an economist.
Yeah,
he
I know who he is. Very, yeah.
Yeah, he made a very interesting point regarding we've put academics in charge of stuff, thinking that because they have academic qualifications, they have understanding, which of course they don't. And we conflated intelligence with understanding.
Well, what about the point Joe is making? And I did hear numerous people on the radio today, and there's been numerous stories in the paper about people, different situations, families. Morris mentioned a woman of 70, and if her rent goes up, she's out of her house. She's out of her home. She can't afford it. She can't afford another penny. Already rents are very overpriced. Now, I don't know where you live, David, in rural Ireland, but certainly, be it in Dublin, Limerick, or Cork and Galway, in a city, particularly Dublin, they're extortionate.
Rents are extortionate, but that is. But I also drive around all the time, and I'm seeing empty properties here, there, and everywhere. Now, why are those properties empty? Those properties are empty because the owners don't wish to rent them because of all the problems with renting in Ireland. So
what you're saying to me is that we have to balance the rights of the landlord with the rights of the tenant at the same time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Let me just put that to Joe. Joe, that's a kind of fair point. Landlords, genuine landlords, I'm not talking about the big vulture funds, the genuine landlords believe they're getting a bad deal. They don't have rights. As I mentioned earlier on, I had a friend who rented out his father's house, and he couldn't get the tenant out for 8 months, even though they weren't paying rent, because the law was on their side. And then when he did get the house back, it was wrecked. It cost him 16 grand to get it fixed. It wasn't worth taking the person to court. They had no money. So, you know, the law always seems to be on the tenant side. We can't keep doing that because, as Joe or David rightly said, you'll have empty houses all over the country because nobody wants to rent their houses out.
Yeah, but Noel, in Germany and in Holland, they can sign a lease for 20 years.
That's a different market. Exactly what... But they're not. But they don't grow up with an ambition to own their own home.
It's renting houses, though.
But look at 80% of accommodation. Hang on, 80% of accommodation in Germany is rented. 80% of accommodation. Yeah. Where in Ireland, probably 20% of accommodation is rented. I don't know the exact figures, but we are people just like the British who like to own our own homes.
Yes,
but Noel, every country is different, and this country is going in that direction. If you look at all the apartments that's going up. Mm-hmm. And if there's no profit being made in apartments, why are they building them? Why are they building them, renting them?
Oh, no, there is profit. Who said there isn't? Of course there's profit. But that's the free market, Joe, isn't it?
Yeah, but I walk in Balmain at the moment a lot. And in Balmain, when you rent, if you damage it, you pay for it, even though you're renting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the amount of apartments going up there on the racecourse. That's in the agreements that they're signing now. So where Micheál Martin or yourself is coming from, that a lot of people, like a lot of the small landlords would probably make you pay for, or have to pay for it themselves. But all these big companies that he's talking about wanting them to build, that's not the small landlord that he's talking about. That's not the small landlord. These 6% or whatever you're talking about, that's not what he's talking about on the radio tonight or on the television tonight. He's talking about big companies encouraging them to invest to build blocks, not one individual house.
Because we have a problem. Because we have a crisis. Yeah. But Joe, let's just say his harebrained plan worked, right? And all of a sudden, all these investment companies come into Ireland and start building and developing, you know, thousands of properties all across the country, right? Eventually, the laws of supply and demand will kick in. Rent prices would actually come down again.
And what happens if it goes up 10% each year? The cost of
it's not going to go up 10% a year.
Nobody knows what's around the corner. Nobody knows the.
There's a limit to how many people earn 90 grand a year. Do you know what I mean?
There's no limit to the greed of these construction companies. They have no sympathy or pension funds. They will take. Yeah, no, they will take. They don't care about who's out in the street. And you're delusional if you think they do.
But they don't want their properties that they've just built sitting idle either.
Well, listen to Micheál Martin tonight. He doesn't care who's out in the street either. And be realistic now. What person would listen to, you know, we're putting up your rent, but it's good to you? I mean, come on, Noel.
I'm not saying anybody's rent should be put up at this point, to be honest with you. Yeah. But unfortunately, the market is dictating that because of the cost of maintaining homes.
Well, I mean, 2,500. Well, if you can buy a house for the rent or the mortgage would be 1,800, and you're able to maintain it yourself, why don't you charge 1,800 and let them maintain it themselves?
Because they wouldn't maintain it. That's the problem.
Well, that's a clause that you can put into a contract with. Yes, you know, why don't the government or the powers that be look at it?
Because it's not their property. It's your property. That would never legally work because it's your property. It's like leasing a car. When you lease a car, it doesn't, you can tell people who lease cars because they don't give a shit about the car because they can just give it back. You know what I mean?
If you have 100 euros now and your rent is 80 euros, you can afford it. But if you have 100 euros and it goes up to 110, but the rent goes up to 150, you can't afford it.
David, do you have any sympathy for people who lose their homes if we get rid of rent caps and they lose their homes because the rent prices go up?
I do, but I don't think they would, because I believe if the rent caps disappear and all things become equal in the rental market, all the thousands of properties that are not on the market will come onto the market for rental. And on top of that, a friend of mine, his daughter has just been moved into a government place, a social housing in Charleville. And that house was empty for like 8 months before she moved in because it was being so-called decorated. When she moved in and I helped move her in, when we opened the front door, the walls had mold on them.
Because it's been sitting idle in the damp weather, yeah.
Yeah, been sitting idle with the damp weather and the heat pump sort of keeping the place at a nice mold growing temperature and no ventilation. So all the work that somebody had gone in, they paid somebody to go in and paint it, was utterly wasted. And the property just been sitting idle. I heard something on the radio the other. Right.
Could I just interject there and say there's a house across the road from me. It's a three-bedroom house. And he has nine people sharing it. And they're all paying 900 euros each.
Yeah.
That's over 8 grand a month he's getting.
But that's because, by the way, the reason he's getting that, the reason people are so desperate and will actually do that and share a house with eight other people is because there's no properties and because rent prices are too high.
And we can all give his examples, and we can all give these examples. Yeah,
but the bigger picture,
and they're non-greedy landlords.
Yeah, but the bigger picture is, I don't care about Micheál Martin. Forget about Micheál Martin for a second. The bigger picture is that, as David rightly said, if you remove the rent caps, you might get more properties onto the market that haven't been rented. If you remove the rent caps, you might get more big investors that we hate so much coming into the country and developing lots more properties. And the more properties that are developed and made available, Joe, you know the laws of supply and demand, the prices will start coming back down again. Yeah. The reason we're paying 2,600 for a bog standard two-bed house in Dublin in rent is because there isn't any of them. There's hardly any to be got. You look on Daft on an average day. There's nowhere to rent.
Yes. You put the properties up 4%, right? Wait, and the poor people that can't afford them now, how are they going to afford them then?
But I don't think they will go up. You have this kind of fear that if you get rid of rent caps, that all of a sudden all these landlords are starting to put prices up. Some of them might.
Of course they will. You're delusional if you think they won't. Come on, this is all about business. This is all about.
They'll only put it up if they can get it. They can't put it up if they can't get the. If they can't get the rent, they won't put it up. Now, if someone's prepared to pay the money, then so be it.
I could go tomorrow to Donnybrook or somewhere or Dublin 4, Joe, and I'm sure there's houses there to rent, right? Two-bed apartments for 4,000 euro. I'm not going to rent it because I couldn't afford it. So it doesn't matter what price he charges. I'm not going to rent it anyway. You just understand what I'm saying?
Down on the coast road here, there's houses for 4 grand a month. They're all rented out.
Where's that in Clontarf?
Down on the front, down the seafront there. Mm. Behind the new apartments there, there's a whole estate of houses there, all rented out at 4 grand a month. Every one of them are rented out at 4 grand a month.
I don't know who's renting these things. 4 grand a month, like that's
you won't get families into them. You'll get people that are able to share and earn good money that are renting out. But you're not going to get families into them. And that's who we're neglecting here. If you do allow that 4%,
is that many? But I mean, when you were saying, I think that's the exception rather than the rule. Is that many people in Ireland earning that much money that could afford that kind of rent?
The one on Griffith Court down there.
They're exclusive, aren't they? You know what I mean?
No, they're not exclusive. No, there's middle class. There's like I see Irish in it. I see Brazilians. I see families in it. But you have to sign a contract that you earn over 89,000 a year before you're allowed to sign.
Well, then they're not middle classes, are they?
But, I mean, Niall, 89,000 combined, you can...
Oh, combined, okay.
You know what I mean? And you have to sign that you're earning that. I mean, who can do that? not everybody can do that, especially if it was a single woman or, you know.
But with all due respect, if you've got a combined income of 89,000, you can't afford 50,000 a year on the rent of the property alone, because you won't be able to put petrol in your car and go to work.
Most of these apartments have no parking spaces anyway. The new ones down
I suspect what's happening is a large number of these properties are being rented by overseas companies who are bringing in who are paying for the rental for the for their staff when they come over here. And also, I suspect the government are probably renting a whole load for immigrants. And that they're the only people who can afford these, and they're artificially inflating the price. But I don't think that's wrong.
And if you take the price cap off, that won't go up.
All right, let me go to Sharon. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. It's rare that I have something good to say about the government, but I do have something to say. Okay, so I used to look at these apartments and go, who's going to be in them? You know, who's going to afford to be able to rent them? Not my child, not my... But they have a scheme, I don't know, I haven't heard anybody mention this yet, where it's relative to your income. So if your income is, say, a certain amount, say it's in the 30,000s or something, it's not that high. There's a scheme that the government run called cost rental. And that means instead of paying like 2,200 or something for an apartment, you're paying 1,600. So if there's two of you doing it, it's quite doable.
Mm.
And the rent can't go up. Now, because it depends on who can pay what rent. You know, I mean, the 70-year-old woman isn't going to be able to pay near what a doctor can pay. You know, some people can pay those high rents.
But is that not part of the affordable housing scheme? I'm looking at it here. The cost rental housing provides affordable rented accommodation to people on middle incomes. It's aimed at people who are above the threshold for social housing but have difficulty affording private rented accommodation. And it's called the cost rental scheme because the rent you pay is based on the cost of the building, managing and maintaining the homes. Now, it's not everybody...
It's a very good scheme.
Oh, it is,
It's a very good scheme.
Okay, so it said the government aims to deliver 18,000 cost rental homes by 2030. Jesus, that's 18,000. So basically, when a housing estate is built, the government or the developer has to provide 20% affordable and social housing. That comes under that affordable and social housing, which is outlined in the Housing for All plan of Ireland. But 18,000 of those particular homes by 2030, that's in another 4 years. That's not enough.
That has to be ramped up. That has to be ramped up. This particular building that I'm talking about, and it is near Balmain, where that man was talking about, it's just across from us, called Parkside. That whole building is affordable. And there's young people in there and they're all working and the rent...
No, the whole area is... I don't know, so I'm not going to... I don't want to disagree with you.
Building.
But I do believe there's probably a percentage of those particular that particular accommodation that have been... Joe, did you say it was a lottery?
That was a lottery because I know a couple that got one of them.
Yeah.
They got it for 1,500 and thousands put in for it and they said we were very lucky we got it.
Yeah, so there's not that many of them available, Sharon.
That was a lottery.
The person that's in it, she kept applying and she got it.
Hmm.
And it has two bedrooms, two bathrooms. So the government need to look at that and make it, you know, make more of those.
Okay, the qualifications is that you must have a net income of below 66,000 per annum. For Dublin, 59,000 anywhere else in the country. You can't be getting any housing support or any social support.
No.
You do not own a property already, or your household size matches the size of the property advertised. For example, a 2-bed unit may be suitable for two adults, a couple, or a lone parent with more than one child. You can afford to pay the rent, so you have to prove you can afford to pay it. But it is a lottery system. So what I'm saying is, if they build 200 apartments, only a very small amount of those, 5 or 6 of them, will come under that scheme. So it's not an awful lot, Sharon. That's not going to sort the problem out. And you're saying bring more into that. But they can't really, because that means the government, the taxpayer, has to pay for it because they're subsidised. you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, well, look, I can only say it was a solution.
It's a great... No, I remember many of mine years ago bought a house under the affordable housing scheme or the shared ownership scheme. I don't know why they ever abandoned that, by the way. Mm. That was back in 2003, where he bought a house in Blanchardstown. The government paid half, he paid half, and he couldn't sell it for 7 years. That was the deal. And then when you do sell it, you have to pay the government back for the half that they own. And I thought that was a great idea. Similar situation. Again, it was a lottery situation where there was only a certain amount of houses on the shared ownership scheme. But those kind of schemes, you have to limit those to a certain amount of people because the state is paying for it.
Well, I was down in the stall during the week.
Sorry, is there somebody listening to the radio in the background there because it's coming back into her ear?
I was just going to say, Niall, I was down in the stall last weekend visiting family, and my father brought us and showed us two huge, new, beautiful developments. And they were all bought up by the government for social housing.
Mm. I know, that's happening.
They just need to ramp it all up. We've plenty of money in the country. They just
should we get rid of the rent caps?
Well, I don't think so, because I don't want to think of that 70-year-old woman out in the street.
Now you have it.
Mm.
Now you have it. Like, but no, them houses up on Belcamp, 75% of them were bought by KBC Bank and rented out. $3,500 month. The ones on the, behind Campion's there. 75% of them.
I know the ones you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, well, why did the government allow that?
Well, it's not that the government allow it, Joe. You're saying the government, it's a free market.
Yeah, but why is it a free market? We're short of housing.
Well, then you're getting into communism. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to abolish the free market, then let's go down that road. Yeah, but you can't.
They have to curb the greed of some landlords.
Yeah,
some are great and some are really greedy, and they have to find some kind of a way to curb that.
Yeah, we're not building land here. There's no more land to build on. We've only a limited
land. Would you stop out of that? There's billions of acres of land in the country, for God's sake.
Yeah, up and down the country.
All over the country.
Yeah,
there's lots of public land as well, Joe. There's loads of it.
They all want to live in Dublin, though.
Well, they can't all live in Dublin. See, this is the problem with centralisation. Everybody can't live in Dublin. I used to say this before, that you have, say, somebody who's getting a HAP scheme living in Sheriff Street, say a single mum with three kids, and she's living in Sheriff Street on a HAP scheme, right? And you're saying, that's kind of pointless. I mean, there's loads of lovely houses outside Dublin where she'd be far better off and have a much better quality of life for herself and her children, but she just won't move out of Dublin. What's that all about?
We have a huge rural community. I have a friend moved out to Leitrim. She's a fabulous house.
But Bertie Ahern tried the decentralisation years ago by moving some of the government buildings and government offices outside of Dublin. Now, unfortunately, it failed. It didn't work too well. But I do agree with decentralisation. This whole idea that everybody has to be focused in Dublin, or be it Cork or whatever it happens to be. Like, we need to stop thinking like that. But stay there a second, because I want to go to Jason. Jason, hi, how are you?
Why didn't KBC buy houses down in Leitrim then?
Because we don't have decentralisation, and because there's nobody going to rent them in Leitrim. That's why.
I know, but I mean, to allow them to buy the houses up here and rent them out at £4,000 a pop, I mean, that's excluding poor people from buying in their own area.
Okay, well hang on for a second. Stay there. Jason, hi, how are you?
Hello, thanks, thank you.
Good. Jason, you're not in a good situation, are you?
No, so same to your producer. Basically, I'm living out of the car the last few months. Prior to that, I had a tenancy, but there was a actually what you mentioned earlier, there was a disruptive tenant there, and the landlady had her hands tied in getting them out, although she wanted them out. You know, she couldn't do it, and then I just decided to leave given the circumstances, thinking that I'd get a place relatively quickly, because that place I had found within the first 2 weeks, but now I'm in 2 months. Not only that, I'm working 6 days a week, nearly hitting 50 hours full time. I have the rent and deposit. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm looking on DAF and I pull out the most recent filter and getting all the latest locations, right? And then I go on my break, I go on the. So I'm all day on DAF and Facebook as well. And to no avail. I rarely get an email back. I think in the last 2 months, I've got two viewings and one just rejected. Situation for whatever reason, and then another one was just a disaster. I don't even know if they're really abiding by the regulations. You know, yeah, you have these situations as well. Like that, there's certain accommodations that you know that would appeal to certain demographics, but it's not suitable for
know.
And what's your, can I ask you, is it, it's just for yourself, is it? Yeah, you're just for a single man.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
exactly. So what's your budget? What's your budget, roughly?
Well, initially it was a modest budget. It was 500. Now it's 700 because I'm getting a bit fatigued with the whole situation.
So that's, you know, obviously you're looking to share. You're looking to share, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. And I don't need anything, like, extravagant, you know, just something modest. I'm working most of the week, and I wouldn't change even if I had a place because, you know, I'm just saving up and so forth. But it's impossible because there's so many people viewing places that as quick as I send the emails, I don't get a response back. And it's tough living in the car because,
like, I know.
For instance, I have to shower every day. So I use, like, there's, you know yourself, there's service station facilities where you can shower. And then I'm using an extraordinary amount of money on fuel as well to get to A to Z.
And then you're getting takeaways every day or restaurants every day to try and eat, yeah.
Well, I actually work in hospitality, so as far as the food, I have
food okay. covered for that's four, okay then, yeah.
You know, so that's handy.
So what do you do at night, Jason? What are you doing at night? Are you parking up in a car park and going to sleep?
Exactly, yeah. I have like a duvet in the back. I knock back the back seat. You know, you can fold the seats back. And that's about it. And you know, it's tough as well. Like, not only the physical aspect, but, like, you know, I'm not sleeping in a secluded area. There's people that will come in the morning and so forth. And so there's a bit of a humiliating factor there.
Of course
well.
There is, yeah. Yeah.
And even on the showers and all, because these showers are in public settings.
Jason, so, yeah, I did it. I was in a situation going back a few years ago where it just wasn't viable for me to go back and forward to work, and I couldn't afford the hotel I had been stayed in. It was a cheap hotel. They put the price up, and I ended up sleeping in the back of my car in a car park. I know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but what's so infuriated about it is that I have, because, you know, they ask, are you working? You have references. I have great references from my previous tenancy. I have the money. I'm ready to move in. So I take every single box. But 2 months at this point, and I still can't get a place. And then when you do viewings, not all of them, but there are some of them, they get the odd surprise, you know, that you do the viewing and something that they didn't mention or just becomes like, you know, for instance, I went to a place and the woman, the kitchen was in another room, was a portable stove with a DIY extractor situation going on. I mean, she wanted like €800. Like, you have to be serious here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's very difficult. And so, you know, all I do is eventually I have to hit something, you know. That's kind of it, but I work a lot of hours, and you know, in the whole situation. So
I assume it's harder to find a shared accommodation than it is to find an apartment. Sorry, a one bed apartment, which is probably going to cost. If you even a one bed apartment now in Dublin is what, 2,100, is it?
Exactly. I mean, that's out of my reach entirely. Not only that, you know, like I'm trying to build a life for myself. Like, I'm not living in luxury, evidently.
But, clearly,
like that's I'm on minimum wage. You see. I'm on minimum wage, and so once you pay the rent, if you get an apartment,
because you're on minimum wage, can you not get some help from HAP, no?
You know what, so I was in a similar situation a few years ago, and I tried the HAP route, and I think there was some discrimination towards it, so it never worked. So now I'm just doing everything, you know, in a more moderate way, just having the job and all the rest of it. But HAP, I didn't get much success in that, I just think the stigma behind it. So yeah, no, it's really bizarre, and but you know what? I'm young. I'm 33 years of age. So, you know, it's not the worst of things. I can get through.
You might be saying that, but at 33, you know, when you're working full time, you shouldn't be sleeping in your car. That's a bad sign, isn't it?
It stinks. Yeah, it does stink. It stinks quite a bit. But you know, you think of yourself. There's older people out there. And when the winter comes in, they have to accommodate for heating bills and so forth. That's rough to me. Like, I'm bad, but there's really bad. And I just say that just to create the context of the issues we have in this country.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to be in the car in the winter now when it comes in, because that's going to be tough, isn't it? Hopefully, you won't be in that situation.
Well, I mean, that entails higher fuel costs to keep the heating going. That's basically what that entails. And rough mornings, you know? It is what can I do? I mean, you know, so I'm looking at eventually. I hope to get something, but it's really unfortunate. What a disgrace, a true disgrace. And I'm not even at the worst of it. People on the streets sleeping on cardboard. That's even worse, you know. So it's a disgrace what's going on, really.
I'm really sorry to hear about your situation, Jason. I hope you find somewhere. I really do. I'm not going to ask you, by the way, do you agree with rent caps? You don't even have somewhere to live at the moment, for God's sake. So, but in saying that, you know, I understand the situation that you're in. I can understand why you're in that situation and how difficult that must be. I genuinely empathise with you, and I really hope you find somewhere to live. If there's anywhere, by the way, whereabouts are you? North Dublin, South Dublin, where are you?
South Dublin.
All right. Dublin, yeah, if there's anywhere, anybody in South Dublin has a room to rent, Jason's willing to pay 700 quid. Sounds like a good kid. Well, he's not a kid, he's 33, but he sounds like a good guy.
Yeah.
He sounds like a good guy. You can contact us here at the station if you think you have somewhere to put him up for. He'll give you 700 quid. All right. All he wants is a roof over his head and somewhere to cook his dinner and have a shower. Listen, that's shocking. Let me go to one or two more. I have to go to four callers, and then we're going to wrap this. Kathleen, hi, how are you?
Hello now. Yeah, I'm just shocked now. I've been over here since 1998. Now, I've never owned my own home, but the first thing I did was to go for the count, you know, go to council, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of lucky, but I've been here a lot of years. You know that way now.
Mm. So you're in social housing, yeah?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, now where I live, there's been a place empty for over a year. It's been renovated, just lying empty now. Now lying empty.
Yeah, that's the council. Yeah.
Yeah, DCC. And yet at the moment, they haven't got enough money now.
We'll see.
I won't start with Dublin City Council now because I'd lose the head.
But here's the thing. The reason that's empty is not because the council are completely incompetent, although they are reasonably incompetent, is the fact they just don't have enough staff and teams to go around renovating these homes. Now, a lot of the renovation doesn't need to be done, by the way. This is all to do with regulations and standards, and these things have to look like new before somebody moves into them or whatever. I don't know, new kitchens and all that.
Yeah, I think it's the EU.
Yeah, possibly,
European
I don't know.
Union, I think they have rules and regulations about those.
Well, I don't know, but the council have their own regulations. Anyway, but the point I'm making is that realistically, you know, they're left idle because there isn't enough people to maintain them, and we just don't have the staff. And we don't have the carpenters, we don't have the plumbers, we don't have the electricians. We just don't have enough because they're all too busy working with private developers and making more money.
Yeah.
So
that's fair enough now.
And I can tell you now, the council are the biggest owners of vacant properties all over the country, most likely. I think Peter Dooley will clarify that for me in a second, but as far as I know...
I can believe that, yeah.
Actually, let me just ask Peter Dooley on that note. Peter Dooley from the Dublin Renters Union. Peter, hi, how are you?
How are you, Noel?
Am I factually correct in saying the council, the city councils, are probably the owners of the majority of vacant homes around the country?
Yeah, you're spot on, Noel. One of the biggest land hoarders are actually the council, and the voids they have are huge amounts of properties they can't do up. They leave. There's one house they passed today, and I've been out to the council for the last 4 years, it's been empty. There's a woman I know who's living in overcrowded conditions in a council back complex with her elderly mum who's sick. This is a Paris Cross, and they've done nothing with it. They've left it there idle, and they've been on kicking and screaming about it, and the councillors have done nothing about it either. So this is just one example of where they could actually renovate them. You know, turn them around pretty quickly to get them back into use for people, like especially the stock that's there. Like, if you're not maintaining the stock that's there, sure, what hope has anybody got, like, you know? But it's completely manufactured, it's in the house.
Well, when I did say this, Sarah, the blame for all of this needs to be, we can blame a million people for this, including Micheál Martin. But I mean, well, not Micheál Martin's government, but certainly, yes, Micheál Martin's government and Fine Gael over the last 10 years, the last decade, they're the ones who did all this. They're the ones who created this monster.
But now we've got housing associations as well now, haven't we?
Well, that's because the government handed over responsibility to all these organisations, these housing initiatives, to house
a big
people.
Waiting list.
Rather than having a central agency like we used to have years ago, Dublin Corporation, you know, for example, they've handed it over to all these housing agencies, which are essentially just NGOs.
Yeah, they've outsourced housing, approved housing bodies. Currently, there's about six or seven of these are quite big. You probably saw the recent reports on McFerry Trust as well, under this serious financial difficulties. They got a massive bailout last year. And again, they're essentially they're government organisations now. That's what they are.
Yeah, but CEOs earning massive amounts of money. But go on,
Absolutely. But I think the bigger issue with all this is I think, go back to the rent caps, is like I was arguing for this years ago. Remember we did a rent control march. We first did one, I think, back in 2016, 2017, and got about 100 people out in the street, not mine at the time. And I find it just like it would just go on and go on and go on and get worse and worse. Like, and the reality is like the government. This is
it is going to get worse. It is going to get a lot worse. It's going to get to the point where people literally just can't afford somewhere to live. And I know you're in a lucky situation, Kathleen, and I'm delighted for you that you're in a lucky situation.
Thank you, no.
But you're seeing the problems all around you. So yeah. Kathleen, just before...
But I have grandkids, and I don't know, you know, they're only young yet. If they would even have, to, you know, they would have to start saving from a young age to get a deposit for their own place.
You'd want to start saving when you're five in this country if you want to have a deposit.
I mean, okay, if they came to me, I'd help them as best I could. But young people today, they want their own homes. And don't blame them now. If they can afford it, if they have to make that commitment for the next X amount of years, you know.
Mm.
I admire them. I'd love to own my own house, but I never have the money to do that now.
Yeah, but you do have. I mean, at least you have somewhere you can call home. At least you have a stable home.
Oh yeah. And I do feel sorry for the young people. That girl that was on, I just read it, and she said she's sharing with three other girls, sharing a house with three other girls, and she's paying €2,000 a month. I couldn't believe it now.
And she's sharing. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
And she's sharing with three other girls now.
Yeah.
In one house. It didn't say where it was.
Yeah, so the landlord is pulling $6,000 a month out of them. Yeah.
Yeah, or $8,000, because if you look at it.
Oh, there's three other girls. Sorry, 8,000. Sorry.
Three other girls and this girl.
Sorry, my math is bad there.
She's looking massive. I mean, okay, everybody loves to have money now, but I suppose it's a business they're in, isn't it? If you can be a landlord and make a few bob, you know. Well, why not, I suppose, but they're certainly making it now. They really are making the big bucks now, aren't they now?
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathleen. But Peter, just going back to what she said there about that, you know, $8,000 a month, there's three people or four people sharing a house at $2,000 each. You could live in a villa with a swimming pool in Spain or America with that kind of money. In a mansion. Like, it is ridiculous. It's like, so I want to get back to the caps if I can, Peter. Sorry for jumping off the topic slightly. So you've heard the news today, obviously, the government want this new plan for all new bills and that caps will be linked to inflation. But some organisations have said caps are a bad idea. Do you think they really make a difference?
Absolutely, they make a difference in people's lives. At least there's some certainty in terms of the rents you're paying. But the problem with this is that, like, I think even today, all the language the last few months by the government has been to push more private equity. And one of your previous callers just heard earlier on, one of the guys, I think Joe was talking about it, and he hit the nail on the head. It's to drag more institutional investors in. And I just want to make it clear to one of your listeners, this is important, because this is all down to lobbying by these property management companies and property, the Irish Property Owners Association as well. The General Secretary, ex-General Secretary of Fianna Fáil, is a guy called Pat O'Farrell. He's the CEO now of the Irish Institutional Property Investors. Surely it's a massive conflict of interest. And he was also the head of the Irish Bank Confederation at the time of the bank bailout.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're the ones that have been pushing and lobbying hard to try and get these rent caps, even though they haven't been as effective as they should be, really. I would have went much further in terms of the rents, like, but these are the guys that are trying to lobby it to get rid of it, to bring more private equity in, to open up the door, to start screwing people more and more. And these are the supply side measures the government are looking at, rather than dealing with the critical lack of building public housing for people. They've as well left a massive amount of vacancy, dereliction, all these issues that haven't been talked about for years. They haven't been dealt with. And then on top of it, you have all the Airbnbs all around the city. And that's just the ploy side, right? And then you look at the demand side and you look at the immigration chaos on top of it. So you're adding a perfect storm of just absolute carnage in Ireland. That's what's going to come down the tracks over the next period of time.
I mean, here's a bigger problem, right? Let's look a little bit forward to the future. You've got God knows how many people in IPAS centres. God knows how many Ukrainians who are probably not planning on going back home even if the war does end. They're all living in hotels, IPAS centres, accommodation all across the country. They're all going to be looking for somewhere to live soon too. Because as soon as, you know, they get their right to remain or whatever it is, mainland will hopefully some The ones that don't deserve it hopefully will be deported, but the ones that do deserve it get the right to remain. And those Ukrainians, and because you've already heard the Labour Party suggest there should be a pathway for citizenship and a pathway for them to stay here. I mean, well, then realistically, that's even more properties. That's less properties for people to actually rent, and more people looking for properties out there. This is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and worse for everybody.
It's getting worse, and like that's a major issue. Like, nobody's dealing with this, and like
you're not allowed to talk about it, because if you talk about it, you're a racist. You know what I mean?
Well, I've been called everything for speaking about these issues.
Yeah, so have I.
Called the communist. No,
yeah,
like,
I know. Yeah.
Something else next night.
Oh yeah, just for even for like, even for suggesting that on the air tonight, somebody's going to put up on Twitter that Boylan's a fascist. You know what I mean? I mean,
but
we have to think about things logically as well. You know,
but you're right. But the most logical thing to do with this in terms of the immigration fallout, like obviously it's having an impact on the demand side measures. But like, the bigger issue is as well, is you were talking about the higher priced properties. This is a critical point as well, because like the work permit, the visa system, a lot of these companies now are hiring international workers, highly paid international workers. And I know an apartment complex quite close to myself, and it's all high paid finance and tech workers. Have block booked all these apartments through their employers. And now landlords are going directly to these companies that are working with the work permit system as well, that are actually supplying accommodation.
But we've seen that more recently as well, the houses that went up for sale there in Kildare, was it? What, I think it was Kildare.
Yeah.
And the queue.
In West Dublin.
Yeah.
Between Lucan, 7 Mills the place is called, between Lucan and Clondalkin. It's a new village, 15,000 apparently you're supposed to live in it.
But I mean, yeah, but look at all the ones that are being bought. I mean, they're primarily not Irish people. Now, I'm not having a go, by the way, you know, but they're obviously reasonably well-paid people coming from all over the world and working here. And, you know, we've seen this problem more recently. They've been talking about this in Spain and other countries around the world too, where they're saying, hold on a second, we can't have this happen. And in places in Spain now, they're suggesting either A, banning foreigners from buying houses, or B, putting a tax on it. Where local citizens get first dibs. And I don't see a huge problem with that. Some people might say that's fascism or that's racism. I don't think it is. I think it's just making sure you look after your own, inverted commas, first.
Well, you have to. Well, if you're buying property in Ireland, you don't even have to have any. There's no allegiance or tie to a place. You could be buying it from anywhere, any part of the world. Like a lot. Like I know specifically, like there's a lot of higher paid, for instance, a lot of visas have been given to some nationalities. One nationality I'll talk about is Indians, like have been buying a lot of properties, which is creating massive issues in terms of putting accommodation costs up and price of
houses. Don't get me wrong, we wouldn't be having this conversation if we had enough accommodation for everybody, but we don't, and we're not going to.
You have to look at the bigger picture. You can't, and you can't deal with one side of the argument without dealing with the other side, like, and be logical about it. Like, you know, and the thing is, look, we've the most over the years, the most people we support have been a lot of people are foreign nationals, but renters and stuff as well. But what's happening now is it's getting out of control. It's completely out of control, and it's pushing down.
But it has to come to a breaking point, because surely it'll get to a breaking point where only the wealthy will be able to afford a rent.
Well, that's the way it's already become. Like, you know, if you think about it fundamentally, right, we have one of the lowest rates where people, probably in the 70s, 80s as well, they could afford to buy a house. It was about 4 or 5 times your income. You could even three times your income, you could afford to buy a house. But now it's really out of reach for most people even to entertain the prospect of buying a home. So what's happening is older and older people are going to be renting longer and longer and longer because forced into homelessness. Like, I've heard a story even today, a 70-year-old woman. I know a case of an 84-year-old man a few years ago that I was helping. We prevented an eviction against an 84-year-old man. Like, we're going to be going down the road.
But here's the thing. You heard Jason before the break. I don't know whether you heard him before the news there. And, you know, he's sleeping in his car. Sounds like a good guy. He's sleeping in his car. He's working 50 hours a week, but he's on low wage. And he has 700 quid to spend on his accommodation to share. He's on daft every day of the week trying to find somewhere to live. He's living in his car, sleeping in his car, sharing in the local garage and stuff like that. The man is working hard, you know, and he's doing a 50-hour week. He shouldn't be sleeping in his car.
Do you know what? Like, I'll be honest with you. The government and the politicians, the political class and the establishment of Ireland are just nothing but criminals now. That's the way I feel about them, because, like, I'll be honest with you, what they're doing to the people of this country is inhumane.
Joe, hi, how are you?
That's a bad night, Leonard. Just to let you know that the protest went off very well on Saturday.
I believe you were at it, Joe. I believe you were at it.
I was. I was there. 15,000, I think, was there. Was it
that many? It was hard to tell. I saw a couple of videos. It looked like a really good crowd. Mind you, you wouldn't think it happened at all if you were to go with the media in this country. But there seemed to be a really, really good crowd at it. I'm not good with crowds, so I wouldn't know if there was 5,000 or 15,000.
That's what they were saying. You know, myself and John, I was talking to John O'D as well, and we gave you a mention as well. We did.
Oh, he was telling me today. I was talking to him today. He was telling me he met you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad it went off for everybody there, and I'm glad it was peaceful too, and I'm glad, you know, but the only thing I'm not glad about is, as usual, the government will just ignore the fact that thousands of people were out on the streets, blaming them for what is a reckless immigration policy. But anyway, sure, we'll move on from that. Joe, in relation to the housing crisis currently at the moment, one of the suggestions by the government now is that we remove rent caps for all new builds and just base the rent as the same level as inflation. Now, do you think rent caps work, firstly? And do you believe there is a solution to the housing crisis? Or are we just in for more and more of this carry-on?
With respect, Niall, I don't think there'll ever be a solution to the housing crisis because at the moment, and good evening to Peter as well, if he's still on there.
He's still there too.
Yeah, good evening. Another great Irish patriot, I must say, who does great work.
God bless you, Joe.
Not at all. You're welcome. Anytime. But no, there's no solution to this, Niall. Like you have Twinkle Dumb and Twinkle D coming out with all their propaganda at the moment. With respect, Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, the woke left opposition, or the so-called opposition, they're not going to solve the housing crisis. They couldn't even do a day's work in the Dáil without solving the housing crisis. I think that the best thing we should bring in here is if we had people like Peter now and people who with a bit of logic that were running running this, I think we could get it done a lot quicker. But I don't think we're going to get it done that quickly because you have, as I say, I have no confidence in the political system in this country. And I also
at this stage, even if Peter went in tomorrow as the housing czar, which is the kind of job they created. I think he would do a great job, but he's going to come across the same problem because the government created this problem that you could have as much money, we could throw billions at Peter tomorrow if he was a housing czar, but who's he going to get to build all this accommodation? Because the problem is there's too many people looking for too little houses.
Well, you see, the problem, Niall, is unfortunately the Irish people are being left out in the cold as usual. You know, it's the wrong people are getting them. And I'm not going to give two fiddlers what I say here tonight. There's too many invaders coming into this country.
Invaders? Okay. That's not the word
that's
I would use.
Right? Invaders.
To be fair, Joe, a lot of people come here legitimately and work for companies. And every
there's
country in the world.
No, but not all of them.
No, not all of them don't, obviously. But a lot of people come here legitimately. And you know, when you, I mean, only recently there, you know, there was a suggestion that we dilute or relax the visa laws in this country, which was a ridiculous idea, particularly when we're going through a housing crisis. But people come here with quite a lot of money and they come here with very well-paid jobs. And that is a problem, but it's not necessarily their problem. That's our problem. You know, if we don't... Now, I do agree it's their problem when we have people coming here illegally, and that shouldn't happen. They should be deported, right? But when you've people who come here legitimately to the work visa process, you know, and they're buying up properties, that's our problem, because we don't have enough properties.
Well, the two biggest... As you said there to me many times before, and I highlighted again to you, the two biggest mistakes we went through in this country, and not just here, but all over, really, was the property crash and the external lockdowns. Like, there should never have been any lockdowns on the building sector. The building sector should have been kept building at that time because we lost out on nearly 2.5 years of construction just because a certain Mr. Tony Holohan and his mafia didn't like people getting things done.
No, you are right. Construction never should have been halted during COVID.
Yeah, of course it should. Like, who in God's name would listen to a Muppet like him? The same guy that was involved with Cervical Chick.
I agree. There was no reason, particularly the construction industry. There was no need. The most of them were working outdoors anyway.
Course they were.
Yeah, so there was no need to close down construction.
But as you said there before, successive governments have have made a total bags of this. Like, this has been going on now for quite a long, long time. And I don't think this is going to be fixed. This is not going to be fixed in the next couple of years. I think it's going to be an ongoing thing.
Okay, Peter, just before I come to Martine, give me a timeline. If you had a good government, God forbid, we had a good government in tomorrow, how long do you think it would take to fix the housing crisis?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you went in with immediate solutions, you could go a long way towards resolving it pretty quickly. I don't think it's not insurmountable. Like, you could actually go about, you know, dealing with the stock we have currently and dealing with the trades in terms of getting people to work and encouraging Irish tradespeople to come back to our country to build our country for the future. That's what we need to be doing. Like, you know, we need to be investing in our people and investing in
but,
people.
But that's what they've tried to do. Didn't Simon Harris put 425,000 into some marketing plan to bring people back to Ireland? But how do you convince Johnny the Carpenter, who's living in Australia in Sydney and has a reasonably good lifestyle and a good wage, to come back to Ireland where he's going to have nowhere to live?
If you look at it, right, the majority of people, even the people who have left Ireland, like a lot of people left Ireland. Why did they leave Ireland? Because they can't afford to live in Ireland. Like, what,
that's what I'm saying. So how are you going to convince them to come back?
You invite them. Like, if you're back, it's not necessarily inviting them all to come back. Inviting whoever wants to come back. Do you remember the time the big shout out for the nurses to come back for COVID, and they were all in Sydney Opera House hundreds of them outside Sydney Opera House, and many of the government actually follow up on bringing back a handful. So like, you know,
yeah. So maybe you had an incentive. Come back to Ireland, and you can work tax free for 5 years.
Absolutely, and you support them. You support people, they support the Irish citizens, people that where their families are here, where their communities are here. That's what you want to build up. We're a strong, proud, you know, homogenous race, despite what Micheál Martin might say about people, with a proud history of struggle in Ireland. We can't lose sight of that, what type of people we are.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me go to Martine as well. Martine, sorry for keeping you so long. Martine, go ahead.
That's okay. I'm just listening to all of you, and I agree with most of what people have said. But there's still an issue of the fact that there are many people with disabilities who are living at home with their families, and they will never get a home. I've been on the housing list for 20 years plus.
20 years?
20 years. Thankfully, I'm in a house that is accommodating, but my disability has changed as well. And that's the plan was, I thought, when the commissioner, the status of people with disabilities came out, that we would at least consider that housing accommodate people with disabilities, whether they acquire it or if their disability changes. This has not happened. So I'm pretty angry right now.
You sound angry, Martine. What, Martine, can I ask you if it's not too invasive to ask you what your disability is? Or
cerebral palsy.
Okay. And obviously then you find it difficult to get around the house if it's not, I suppose, you know, disability friendly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just me. You can acquire a disability through brain injury. You can acquire a disability through stroke. You can acquire a disability through an accident, and nobody accommodates that. Once you have a disability, and if you're in recovery in a hospital or anything, in trying to get yourself back to normal, you can guarantee there is no place for you to live. And the government don't give a toss. It's up to disability organisations out there that do exist that have to do it. And they can't accommodate it either, because they're not getting the assistance that they need.
So what currently for the last 20 years, so what are you doing? You're just renting and obviously trying to rent houses.
I'm very lucky that I'm with an organisation that helps people with disabilities to have accommodation. I was very lucky that the person who decides to recognise that people with disabilities need a home to live in. I was in foster care before that. So God knows where I would have been if there wasn't a place like this. I would have been a halfway house. God knows, I probably would have been homeless. A lot of people who have been in care are in a situation where they are made homeless because they have nowhere to go and they're not getting the help they need either.
That's awful. I you're breaking my heart even listening to you, because I know how upset you are over it. And all you want is somewhere that you can call home permanently. And that's adapted to your disability.
Yeah. There's nobody considers anybody when it comes to people with disabilities. If I look on the house, I'm on the housing list like a lot of people, and I can guarantee if I look at that house, Does it mention the fact that it's accessible? No, it doesn't. I have to go and check that place out, and I can't always get there to find out if it is accessible. That's what you're meant to do. And I can't do that. A lot of people with disabilities can't do that unless they get help or assistance.
I mean, it's not just the accessibility. The house has to be modified. You have to have a wet room and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, exactly. You do have to. You have to consider how wide are the doors? How, if you can move around the
and
building,
I assume you're limited to a bungalow. You're limited to a bungalow as well.
Yeah, exactly. There's not enough bungalows out there. But that's not just me. It's elderly people. I've been on this housing list, like I said, 20 years. I remember saying that to somebody when I was in my 20s. I'm nearly 50 now. What the hell is going on in this country that they don't consider people who are most vulnerable? It's talking about our citizens. Yes, there has been a lot of things like the crash. There has been a lot of situations with the war, etc. But nothing has changed. And the government keeps mentioning, you know, we're going to look after our citizens. I've yet to see proof of that.
Hang on. Just let me come back to Peter. Peter, that's something we haven't discussed at all, actually, is in this country, people with disabilities are quite invisible, really, aren't they? Well, if you were to listen to the government, we don't hear enough about it. And, you know, there's Martine, 20 years on the housing list, because obviously, you know, she's restricted in what sort of property she can get. It has to be obviously a bungalow in her situation and somewhere that's adaptable, you know, to her disability. Oh, we've lost Peter for some reason there completely. Sorry, Joe, I mean, you've listened to Martine there. We've kind of forgotten about people with disabilities, haven't we?
Oh, yes, Niall, and it breaks my heart. It really does. I really feel sorry for that lady. I tell you,
Martine is her name.
Martina. Good evening, Martina. How are you?
Martine.
Sorry. Good evening, Martine. How are you doing? This is typical, again, of the state. Like people with disabilities have been treated like dog meat for generations in this country. And it's kind of it makes me kind of angry that they kind of come out with all these projects about doing this and that for people with disabilities. But it's all virtual signaling. And the sad thing is nothing ever happens. Like in this country, you have buildings in this country where some people can't even use. They can't even go up steps. There's no lifts in some of the buildings. You know, and even in some shops, like, they're not wheelchair accessible.
No, that's because when they brought in the legislation, it didn't have to be backdated. So buildings that were already built obviously didn't have to be made wheelchair accessible or disability accessible.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back to Peter there as well, but I just lost him there for a second. Peter, I don't know, you've been listening to Martine there. 20 years on the housing list because obviously she's restricted in where she can live because of her disability. We've kind of forgotten about disabled people in this country. They're like the invisible forgotten about.
Well, listen, I'm just flabbergasted with all this stuff going on. Like, you know, I think the sooner people rise up about what's going on in Ireland, the better.
And for 20 years, Peter.
There's a man I met last week, 24 years he was in the housing list. 24 years, he got an accommodation, in senior accommodation in his early 60s. This is outrageous. Like, people with disabilities are forgotten about. They're neglected by, like so many people in society, neglected by the authorities. But I think what's more important than this is that people, if you know anybody, people need to stand up together in Ireland. The tipping point's going to come now. I can sense it and you can feel it. What's happening with the mood with people you're talking to and everything that's happening, it's going to happen. People are going to start standing up for what's going on in Ireland. You can't be burying your heads in the sand. And you hear what Martine is saying, your earlier caller, I think James was the guy's name, sleeping in his car. Like, when does it stop? People need to stand up because this is what's going to get worse. This is going to get worse and worse and worse for people.
I can visualize Martine. I don't even know the woman. And I can visualize her and the struggles that she has on a daily basis. I mean, those struggles in your life alone, you know, are a challenge enough without having to try and find somewhere suitable to live. The one thing that you would, you know, want to have secure and safe is your home. But so those challenges, getting around town, you know, going to public buildings, whatever, those challenges, if you've cerebral palsy, are difficult enough. But then a challenge just to find somewhere to bloody live. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You shouldn't have to. It's a hard enough struggling day to day without all the other added struggle of having accommodation on top of it. Like, that's a basic human right, to have a home, to have a roof over your head, and not wait 20 or 30 years. And the stress, the extra stress that causes in people's lives is incalculable. You can't even describe what Martine or many more are going through. It's wrong. But you know what? It's for all of us to stand up for everybody who's struggling in Ireland, whether it's Martine, whether it's James. It's incumbent on all of us, Niall, to start standing up to what's going on in Ireland. And the tipping point will come. Because you know what? Unless people look around and take, really sometimes, I get frustrated sometimes because I just think some people just get sucked into their own lives and not worried about what's happening around their communities. And they're more worried about sometimes having the 3 holidays a year or whatever. Some people are consumed by, you know, materialism too much. And I think they need to look at what Ireland really is and what...
But you know what we've lost? We've lost the sense of community, you know, where we care about people like Martine and people like Jason, yeah, who was sleeping in his car or whatever. We've lost the sense of community. There's a kind of sense out there at the moment of, I'm all right, Jack. And, you know, and that applies to, you know, a large percentage of the population who are all right, who are doing okay, who are getting by, who have a house, who are all right, they have a car, they get a holiday every year. And they're all right, Jack. And so when people go out and protest in the streets, they don't bother because they don't care about Martine. They don't care about Jason. They don't care about the other people out there who might lose their homes. All they care about is themselves. Where there was an Ireland at one stage where we cared about each other. And I think we've lost that sense.
Well, I think it's coming back. I think it's still in the Irish psyche and the Irish spirit with a lot of people. And the people I'm talking to and you know, people I'm meeting all the time, they've had enough. But it's trying to galvanise that into some force that's going to affect the change that people need in Ireland. And it's coming, whether people like it, whether a lot of people, because, you know, as Jim Larkin famously said, maybe over 100 years ago, he said, the powerful only look powerful because we're on our knees, essentially. It's about time to get up off our knees and stand up. Like, we should be standing up with Martine, standing up with Jason, standing up with everybody, and standing up for the people, the interests of the people in Ireland. Because you know what? We've had enough of Micheál Martin. Mm-hmm. All he is a glorified European Union branch manager. That's what he is. He's no semblance of even.
Yeah, I find it difficult to believe that, you know, the leaders of this country actually care about people like Martine. And every now and again, Joe is right. They'll throw out a soundbite, you know, for a bit of virtue signalling to make it look like they actually care, but they probably don't. Martine, it must be very frustrating for you. I know how upset you sound and how angry you sound. Have you spoke to any of your local TDs, Martine?
No, I haven't really looked at it because I've given up on the idea of getting a place of my own. I'm happy with what I have now because obviously I've been here for 20 years. I can't imagine leaving my locality at this point. And like I said, my disability has changed over time. I was able to walk around and now I'm in my wheelchair. And that makes it even more difficult, obviously, to get around, as you can imagine. And your accommodation needs change over time as well. So... personally, I've kind of given up on that idea and I probably will come off the list because, like I said, I've been on it 20 years and I've just given up hope that there is going to be a place that's suitable that I can stay, because actually I want to stay in my local area now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point in me.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
And I need the support as well.
Yeah, you have your supports in your local area and I understand why you wouldn't want to go too far.
Yeah, exactly. And the situation is when you do look for a place, or you look at the places that are available, some of them are so far away, you're isolated. I don't want that for me.
No, but you can't. But you can't in your condition. You can't be isolated. No. Yeah.
And I'm also in the situation. You also have to consider, it's not just people with disabilities. And I'm obviously a person on my own. I live in my own place. But what if you are in a relationship and you have a disability and you want to live with your partner or anything like that? No one considers people who may be in relationships who have, you know, whose partner may have a disability. What's the accommodation for them? There's nothing like that either. Nobody considers any of that when they talk about these things at all. And yet they go on about it's about the citizens. Nobody includes citizens who acquire disabilities, who have disabilities from birth, any of those things when they accommodate. And yet the plan was originally, from what I remember when we were talking about it years ago in the Commission for Status of People with Disabilities, the plan was to have housing that would accommodate your needs as you got older so that your disability changed over time, you could still live in your own home. And that has not happened.
Well, listen, Martine, I wish you well. I hope you get what you want and I wish you well for the future. There's not much, unfortunately, I can do about it, but I wish I could. I wish I had the power to do it. But I think, you know, the more that we hear people like you and Jason and we listen to Peter and Joe and all the other callers, the more that people speak out, I think the more things will actually get done. Listen, thank you, Martine. Thank you, Peter Dooley from Dublin Renters Union, for staying as long as you did. And Joe as well, I appreciate it. Now, I got to move on. I suppose on a lighter note, that's terrible, isn't it? When you listen to all of that, you know, people sleeping in their cars, people with disabilities forgotten about. It just goes to show you what an absolute balls of the country they're making. They really are. And, you know, I can't help but agree with Peter. You know, all they are is glorified members of staff for the EU at this stage. Do they really care that much about the Irish people? Because if they did, this wouldn't be happening. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't be happening if they cared. Because we talk about different problems nightly. And yet nothing ever gets done about it. Unless people really stand up and rise up. And then you've got the media who are against them as well, against the people by times as well. I mean, there was a protest down in Cork over the weekend. There was a protest 6 weeks ago, you know, in O'Connell Street, which there was about maybe 40,000 that, I don't know. There wasn't the week, the Cork, Joe said it was 15,000. I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 15,000. I'm not good at numbers and when I see a crowd, but there was a lot of people, a lot of people. It's like a sea of flags. That's, you know, a lot. That's thousands of people who got out of bed that morning, who went to the trouble of walking down a street to tell the government we're not happy about something. On this particular case, it was immigration and the government's immigration policy. And don't say they're a minority of right-wing people, because they're not. According to recent polls, 70% of the population of this country, according to a poll, an official poll in this country, said they're not happy with the government's immigration policy. So it's not just a minority. But the media choose to ignore it. They choose not to talk about it. We just show you just ignore that didn't happen. I saw one big major media outlet and it said, the news, what happened today? No mention of it. It was a huge event in Cork. You know what I mean? Second biggest city in the country. And yet, it was just nothing happened. It just didn't happen. It's like, and the government will do nothing about it. They had no mention of it. They'll say nothing. They won't address it. They just keep pottering on. Oh, we sent 35 people home today. Huh? That's great. On a plane that costs, I don't know, 400,000 euro. Why didn't you fill it? There's plenty more you could have squeezed onto that plane. You know what I mean? That shouldn't be in this country. For all of those, and I don't want to come across some bad person or some sort of fascist or mad fascist. I agree with immigration. I agree with helping asylum seekers who are genuinely fleeing war. I agree with all of that. We should have more supports for them. But what I don't agree with is people taking advantage of our system and coming into our country illegally. And us, you know, rolling out a red carpet and spending billions of taxpayers' money accommodating them while they sit here waiting for somebody to come along and say, sorry, you're going home anyway. And then they don't go home. They never do. Oh, I could get so angry. Anyway.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.